Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.TheBenjaminDixonShow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me. We were off air last week as a result of Hurricane Ian, which ravaged the state of Florida, particularly Lee County, where they are still discovering bodies of people who were unable to evacuate in time because the notification to evacuate did not go out to that community until it was too late. They are discovering I want to take a minute to recognize the tragedy before we move into the politics of everything that's happening around this state and around the country and, quite frankly, around the world. They are still discovering bodies, and now they have found quite a few bodies in the juvenile detention center in Lee County, and quite a few families waking up to the reality that the insurance policies that they thought they had actually don't exist anymore because of the insurance, the homeowners insurance crisis that has been happening across the state of Florida that was punted on by Ron DeSantis, the governor. He specifically punted on the home insurance crisis in order to call a special session about the Don't Say Gay bill. So there's quite a bit of accountability to be had. The question is this country capable of holding its leaders accountable when their actions directly lead to such tragedy and so much loss and so many disasters? And if we continue down the road that we are as a nation, as a species, we are going to continue to see storms that break records. This was a once in a 100-year storm. And it seems as though we are having once in a 100-year disaster every single year, multiple times a year. And yet we cannot get a global consensus to do anything about saving this planet from climate disaster. But I will digress because there are so many topics that we have to catch up on. Over the last few months, I have been organizing with pastors across the South. And I'm excited to say that we have partnered with so many congregations. I met this past Monday with pastors in North Florida as we discussed a myriad of issues. And I want to be sure that you understand that in the conversations that I'm having with them about the problem of Christian nationalism, there are still conversations that have to be had about the immediate crises that they are facing in their communities. And one of the most perplexing things is the very consistent message that every pastor that has given me across the South, they have been the same. The type of complete dereliction of duty from the leaders and the community, the sheriff's department, when it comes to Black lives, when it comes to even going through the mildest of investigations to pursue justice on behalf of a Black person who has been killed. And it doesn't matter who they are killed by. I know this is a huge sidestep, but this was the context of the meeting that I had on Monday. There, in every single state, there are stories. There are cases that have been closed without any justice being brought for the families of Black victims. And it doesn't matter if they were killed by police officers. It certainly is exacerbated when you talk about Black lives being killed by other Black people. Those we've seen in North Florida, in Duval County, where entire groups of Black individuals were allowed to kill themselves out before the policing agencies did anything about it. And once that last person in that particular group, that cell of, I don't know if you would call it a cell of dissent, a cell of animosity, but once that entire group has killed themselves, they close the cases. With no justice being brought. And it's sad that whether I was in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, the story is exactly the same. And so as we're organizing on behalf of fighting back against Christian nationalism, we absolutely have to address the issues that are happening locally. And that has been ongoing. I want to pause and thank the patrons for making this possible. We are not attached to any major organization at this point. This is a Ben Dixon push, I guess you could say. Now, I have partnered with and I'm excited about working with organizations. But as it pertains to how this is happening, it's happening because of our patrons. So, yes, I am going to put a plug here. Patreon.com/the BPD show. Go and support so that we can continue to do this work. And as it continues to grow, I firmly believe that we're going to be able to mount a meaningful and a substantive response to Christian nationalism, which by far is one of the biggest threats to this country. It is by far the existential threat to democracy because of the complicity and the allyship that Christian nationalism has with the theocratic fascists, with the Republican Party, and with those people for whom democracy is an inconvenience, those people who cannot maintain their power in the face of democracy because the people say otherwise. Those people have united, and they are a serious threat to every single aspect of our lives. So we are having to multitask. We're having to multitask disasters, climate disaster on one hand, community disasters and the dereliction of duty and the complete abdication of responsibility to protect and serve. That's happening in real time across every Black community across the South. I mean, it is astonishing how consistent the messaging is from every local pastor about the number of people who have been killed in their community and in their congregation, with absolutely zero response in terms of finding out or stopping the next murder. So we have that on one hand. And then, of course, we have the threat of Christian nationalism and the ongoing global threat of the pan-reactionary movement, also known as fascism, that is making a stand. This is their big day. This is their big push, all the way to the extent that Vladimir Putin is now threatening to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. And then, of course, when you analyze these things, as long as I have, and I know many of you have been listening to me for years, you can see the direct through line of the neutralizing of the anti-war left here in the United States of America, the infiltration of the progressive movement, and the complete collapse of our ability to organize as a cohesive unit. That has completely demolished the ability for us to mount an anti-war movement here in the United States to oppose the war in Ukraine, to oppose Vladimir Putin, because the world is so upside down right now that the prevailing voices that claim to be leftists are saying that the world should capitulate, should bow down to the demands of an oligarch. Let's be sure. Yes, he's the president of Russia, but Vladimir Putin is a capitalistic neoliberal oligarch who himself is wealthier than we could even imagine. And this is an extension of his personal ambition and his ego. And we are being told that the route to peace, this is how far we have been infiltrated. The voices that are screaming the loudest and get the most attention on social media are the ones who are saying the way to peace is through giving a man like that who is threatening to use nuclear weapons everything that he wants because the United States is bad. So we are dealing with a lot of issues on a lot of hands, a lot of fights on a lot of different fronts. And it is incumbent upon us to be able to keep our heads about us when others are losing theirs and blaming it on us. I still firmly believe that despite all of the battles that we're facing on every single hand, despite feeling as though sometimes it feels like this is a hopeless cause, because if you have been looking at this as long as I have, it's very easy to put two and two together and realize that we are inside of the collapse, not only of the United States of America, but we are living through the collapse of liberal democracy globally. And for people for whom the word liberal is a bad word, I would encourage you to look at it in the academic sense. Liberal democracy is the sheer idea that the people have a right to assert the type of government that they want. That is what is under assault. That is what is under assault in Ukraine. That is what is under assault globally. It's not just happening in Ukraine. That's what's happening here in the United States of America. For a great vast majority of white conservative men, conservatives, period, democracy is inconvenient for them. They can no longer stand in the face of the masses of people who have said they have had enough of being led by this type of cabal. And so in order to maintain power, the powers that be have decided to overthrow democracy, not only in the United States, but globally. And that is the nature of the pan-reactionary movement. Pan meaning all-encompassing, the entire group. I use it, the best way to understand it is to consider the global interconnectivity of all of those individuals who are now rejecting, quite frankly, all of modernity. This is the language that they use. They reject a women's rights, period. Not just the right to choose, but rights to vote. They reject democracy. They reject progress. Their literal stated goals are to take us back to the Middle Ages. Those are the reactionaries, and there is a global cabal that are all connected, and they are working in concert at this very moment. And I, you know, not to be an I told you so, but there were quite a few people who felt 2 years ago when we were calling this out, you know, they're feeling like we were being hyperbolic, but it's coming to bear. Like, look at the interconnectivity. You have Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, who is an avowed fascist. Now in league, complete league with the Republican Party of the United States of America, he came and spoke at the CPAC convention, and he spoke about the very reactionary issues that makes the evangelicals, the white evangelicals, the Christian nationalists here in this country stand up and applaud. So we're dealing, and of course, that cabal is now actively supporting Vladimir Putin's push to crush democracy in Ukraine. We are most certainly at an inflection point in global history. And I've yet to even mention the fact that we're living in a global pandemic that the powers that be have either completely abdicated their responsibility to ending, the CDC, turning, you know, we have to figure this out for ourselves. And then the other half of the powers that be actively doing everything they can to get as many people killed as they can. The absurdity of it all. I hope that you're doing well. I want to make a huge pivot before we go to this first break. I hope that you're doing well despite having to navigate the apocalypse without any leadership. That's one of the more disturbing things about this, is that we don't have any leadership on the national or global level that is able to seize the moment. And I don't mean seize the moment in terms of as an opportunity. We've got to seize this absurdity. We have to take control over the fact that humanity is being led off a cliff. And the reason it's being led off of a cliff into the abyss is because, well, the people who have all the power, the people who have all the money, they simply do not want to relinquish one penny of their quarterly profit margins. And they most certainly are not going to release any of their political power. And we must also be clear about who these people are. Before we go to break, I want us to be clear about it. We are dealing with white reactionary men who all their life, they have either hoped to be rich and powerful, or they have been rich and powerful, and they see that everyone else, the rest of the world, the global South, every single part of this world is screaming at the top of their lungs that white supremacy and greed, capitalism, has to move out of the way for the sake of humanity. And if we're not very clear about that, then we will find ourselves chasing and scapegoating everybody else. As you look at what they are trying to bring, look at the actors, look at the people. From Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin, and look at their goals. Their goals are to return us to a time when they had no opposition to their ability to rape, to lynch, and to colonize with impunity. That's the time they want to return us to. And then look at the, you could tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Look at what they have wrought. Look at what their beliefs have wrought. 500 people a day dying of COVID in this country because we simply won't shut down properly because of the greed and the misinformation campaigns. We're dealing with the collapse of the American empire because the sons of the empire, the people who have the most, the most privileged people in the empire have decided it is more important. It is preferable to them to destroy this country than to actually be a democracy. I mean, this is the fruit. Look at January 6th. These are the fruits of their actions. So we know who they are. We know what they have done. We know what they are doing, and we have projected exactly what they want to do. And we need to be clear-eyed about it so that we don't get distracted in scapegoating other groups with internal fighting when the real threat has been the same threat that it was in 1619. It is the same threat that we're facing today, and that is the unparalleled greed and the unparalleled cruelty of white supremacy. I want to backtrack through a couple of political stories that are hot and happening right now since we missed so much due to the hurricane last week. I want to backtrack starting with Herschel Walker and his campaign against Senator Raphael Warnock for the senator's seat from the state of Georgia. It took an unbelievable turn this week. Talk about an October surprise when Christian Walker, the son of Herschel Walker, took to the internet and attacked his father as a result of the news that came out from the Daily Beast that Herschel Walker paid for an abortion from his mistress, from his girlfriend. And this is relevant because of obviously Herschel Walker purports to be a staunch pro-life activist and a God-fearing man of God who would never vote for a woman's right to choose, but he would pay for an abortion. They have the receipts. They have the get well card with his signature. His son confirmed that that was, I mean, I'm sure somebody else has confirmed that that was his signature, but his son Christian got on the internet and confirmed that that was his signature and attacked his father. I'm going to play a clip from Christian Walker, and then I'm also going to play a clip from some of the reaction from key Republicans who have no problem showing their hypocrisy. It has never been about life. The pro-life movement has never been about life. They are pro-birth. They're looking for a stock of children in this country, as stated by Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. They're looking to increase the stock of children available to be adopted, even though there's some 400,000 children languishing in the foster care system in the United States of America, but I digress. And I also want to give one more caveat before I play this clip. Christian Walker is disgusting. He hails from the school of Candace Owens, who, along with Kanye West, they are more than happy to attack the black community on behalf of white supremacy because that white supremacy money spends really good. They don't ever have to worry about eating another day in their life because they're getting checks from white supremacy. That is who Christian Walker is. However, his message here is very direct to his father. Let's listen in.
I stayed silent as the atrocities committed against my mom were downplayed. I stayed silent when it came out that my father, Herschel Walker, had all these random kids across the country, none of whom he raised. And you know my favorite issue to talk about is father absence. Surprise, because it affected me. That's why I talk about it all the time, because it affected me. Family values, people. He has four kids, four different women, wasn't in the house raising one of them. He was out having sex with other women. Do you care about family values? I was silent lie after lie after lie. The abortion card drops yesterday. It's literally his handwriting in the card. They say they have receipts, whatever. He gets on Twitter. He lies about it. Okay, I'm done. Done. Everything has been a lie. And so for the right to say, I'm being suspicious for saying, hey, I'm done with the lies, when you all have been calling me saying, is this true about your dad? Gosh, we're not going to win Georgia, this candidate, that's been you. You have no idea what I've been through in my life. You have no idea what me and my mom have survived. We could have ended this on day one. We haven't. I haven't told any stories. I'm just saying, don't lie. Don't lie on my mom. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on the lives you've destroyed and act like you're some moral family man. Y'all should care about that, conservatives.
Well, it turns out that they don't. And it turns out that they are consistently hypocritical because truth does not matter to them. The only thing that matters to them is power. Listen to Newt Gingrich, who, if you want to trace this, if you want to trace the existential crisis that the country is facing today back to the most recent origins, it would have to be Newt Gingrich bringing in a scorched earth, power politics, disregard the truth approach to the Republican Party back in the 90s when he did everything he could to destroy Bill Clinton just because he could.
I talked to Herschel about this morning, and I've known Herschel a good while. I think he's a remarkable person. I think he's the most important Senate candidate in the country because he'll do more to change the Senate just by the sheer presence, by his confidence, by his deep commitment to Christ, by the degree to which he is. You know, he's been through a long, tough period. He had a lot of concussions coming out of football. He suffered PTSD.
Yeah, well, you know who also is a firm believer in Christ? Senator Raphael Warnock, who's actually Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock, who's literally pastoring the church that Martin Luther King Jr. pastored when he was living. But that's, I mean, come on. We know that this hypocrisy is the point. We understand that it is a strategy. It is they realize, the Republican leadership understand, that if they could give their sycophants just one thread to hold on to, and as long as they can continue to give them a community, as long as the conservative leaders can continue to give their community a place to hide and a place to be reassured of their ignorance and their hypocrisy. I mean, it's amazing what you can accomplish when you get so many ignorant, hypocritical bigots into a group. But so long as the conservative movement continues to give them that space, and so long as someone is willing enough to go out there and be the first hypocrite, they know that the rest of their followers would never question whether or not they are actually being faithful to their so-called pro-life values. Here's Dana Loesch, formerly of the NRA, NRA TV, flaunting the hypocrisy so brilliantly.
So does this change anything? I mean, do you want my opinion? You're listening. Not a damn thing. How many times have I said four very important words? These four words. Winning is a virtue. What I'm about to say is in no means a contradiction or a compromise of a principle. And please keep in mind that I am concerned about one thing and one thing only at this point. So I don't care if Herschel Walker paid to abort endangered baby eagles. I want control of the Senate. If the Daily Beast story is true, you're telling me Walker used his money to reportedly pay some skank for an abortion, and Warnock wants to use all of our monies to pay a whole bunch of skanks for abortions. So it doesn't change anything for me.
Of course,
I don't know if he did it or not. I don't even care.
Of course she doesn't care. She doesn't care because it's all about power. It's not power to do the right thing. It's power to accomplish their agenda. It's power to continue to infringe on our rights. It's power to continue to be able to impose their hypocritical beliefs. I mean, so this is what it is at the end of the day. Mind you, when they successfully install their theocratic fascist system, and we have this America that is ordained by Jesus Christ himself, white Jesus himself, these people are still going to be out here doing every nasty thing they accuse us of doing. They're doing themselves. They are just there. They have no more control over their genitalia than anybody else. They are by far the thou dost protest too much crowd. So while they are going to erect a system, no pun intended, while they are going to erect a system that honors, quote unquote, honors God, in the background, they are going to be doing literally everything that they are screaming about on television. Abortions are fine for them so long as they can get rid of the child that they had with their mistress. Gay marriage, they don't want to get gay married, but they definitely have their proclivities. If it seems like every pastor who makes the biggest stink on television about the LGBTQ community has been caught up in their own LGBTQ scandal. Thou dost protest too much. It is the nature. It is the point. The point is freedom for them and not for you. The point is liberty for them, but not for you. The point is the ability to live however they want to live because they have power, but not you, because they need you to remain powerless. And so, of course, they do not care. They don't care that Herschel Walker is not living the life that he's going around preaching, because they aren't living those lives either.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions.
And here we go. A very special thank you to all of our patrons who are making not only this show possible, but also making our organizing possible. All of our newest patrons, very special thank you to Jeffrey K. Thank you for becoming a patron. Marjorie S. Thank you for becoming a patron. Jonathan M. Thank you for becoming a patron. Oh, wait a minute. And I want to give a special shout out to one of our longest patrons, Andy from Ohio. Thank you for being both a supporter of this show as well as Like It or Not. We love you, Andy. You too can become a part of this patron family by going to patreon.com/thebpdshow, where you'll get access to our patron parties, exclusive content, and to be the first to know what's going on with all the organizing that we're doing. We can't do it without you. patreon.com/thebpdshow. And we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I want to cover two more stories before I get out of here. First, Elon Musk has decided to go ahead and to purchase Twitter. And this comes immediately after he made the suggestion on Twitter. And I'll read it to you. But his suggestion was for a pro-Russian peace treaty with Ukraine, a path towards quote-unquote peace with Ukraine that was unquestionably favoring Vladimir Putin's agenda. And as a result of that, Elon Musk got scorched by millions of people on Twitter, primarily from Ukraine, but across the globe, people really coming to their senses and understanding that this man has never been smart. He's only been rich. And secondly, Elon Musk has always been in league with the fascist pan-reactionary movement that I've been telling people about throughout this entire episode. A lot of people who only know Elon Musk through the lens of Tesla and SpaceX have this opinion of Musk that he is a pioneer for the future, when in actuality, he is one of the leading hands that is moving this reactionary movement on the global stage. There's no question about it. And you can see it in his so-called peace arrangement that he was suggesting for Ukraine, which capitulates completely to Vladimir Putin. But I digress. The second part of his decision to purchase Twitter was for the trial. As a result of his failed attempt the first time to purchase Twitter, he was being sued for $1 billion, as it was written in their agreement that if he didn't go through with the first contract, he would have to pay Twitter $1 billion. He decided to sue. That lawsuit ensued, and text messages have been coming out. You know, when people threaten to sue, discovery is a hell of a drug. You know, when you have to start turning over records, including your text messages, it becomes a very dangerous thing because it opens up yourself to so much more. Plenty of lawyers in the audience who know that a lot better than me. One of the terms of the purchase is that that case is now completely dismissed, and they will not proceed. So there's some information that Elon Musk wants to protect, and now he's found himself in a situation where he has to purchase Twitter. Lastly, he's not purchasing it by himself. He's purchasing it with a group. And we don't have all the details of who all is in this group, at least yet. We don't have those details yet. But what we certainly know is that Elon Musk is aligned with the global pan-reactionary movement. And that the purchase of Twitter, it's coming with the promises of bringing Donald Trump back and bringing so many fascists who have been put off of the platform back to the platform. And more importantly than just opening the door for those people to come back, it gives complete and total control of one of the most effective communicating systems on the face of the planet into the hands of that exact same group that is looking to reverse all of modernity. That's what we're dealing with, but we'll survive. I mean, we know how to organize elsewhere. People are gathering in smaller groups, and it may take some time before a replacement comes along for Twitter. I don't think it's going to take long for him to destroy Twitter because he's just not smart, as evidenced by this tweet. Listen, Elon Musk, this is his Ukraine-Russia peace tweet, and it says the following quote: a redo of elections of annexed regions under UN supervision. Russia leaves if that is not the will of the people. Crimea, formerly a part of Russia, as it has been since 1783 until Khrushchev's mistake. Water supply to Crimea assured. Ukraine remains neutral. Now, keep in mind that the areas that have been annexed, some of them which have been liberated already, but before they could complete the annexation, before Russia could complete annexing some of those regions, the Ukrainian forces took back the land. And so Russia itself doesn't even know where their quote unquote new borders extend to. Setting that aside, we are dealing with a man in Vladimir Putin who is threatening nuclear war if we do not allow his imperialist ambitions to go unchallenged. That's literally where we are. And one of the most disgusting things about this entire fiasco that is the result of Vladimir Putin and the far right faction of Russia is it's beyond disingenuous, and it's beyond bad faith. It is an insidious argument that the path to peace is to capitulate to the aggressor. You cannot appease an aggressor. We supposedly learned that during World War II with Adolf Hitler, but there it has not stopped an entire faction globally, particularly here in the United States. The propaganda that has been infecting the United States is on another level, to which now the cries for peace are actually cries for appeasement. It is a disingenuous argument that suggests that the way forward is for the people who have been assaulted to give up to the person doing the assault. And I wish desperately that there was a way that I can convey this that did not require allusions to sexual assault, but it has that type of sickening victim blaming to say that boys will be boys, so we got to give Vladimir Putin his way if you really want peace. And then the nerve to wrap that in the language of peace. It is the most twisted and sickening position, but it is a prevailing position, as you see Elon Musk is promoting it. And this is what he received so much backlash around. Everyone from the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, to all of their top officials, the state officials, to just everyone with any modicum of good faith and common sense, really just thrashed him to the point of embarrassment. And it's funny that the very next morning he decided, OK, this is enough. We can't have a platform out here where people can actually speak truth to power in real time, so much so that we hurt their feelings. His feelings were hurt so much, now he's going to buy Twitter. Well, that's fine, Elon. Go ahead and buy Twitter. Ego is a hell of a drug, but so is fascism. And the tool will be used. Twitter will be used even more so. It's not as though we haven't had to deal with Russian bots of all kinds. Let's just be real. I mean, I even know some American bots out there that have active bot farms, right? It's not as though we haven't had to face off against this onslaught of propaganda and lies that are being particularly brought by the right wing reactionaries. It's not like we had a bastion of true free speech in the first place. So that simply means that eventually, and it may take some time, there will be a replacement. And when that replacement comes, then Elon and all his investors are going to lose a good penny on their $44 billion investment into purchasing Twitter. One last thing before we get out of here, I want to mention Kanye West and Candace Owens wearing White Lives Matter shirts at his fashion show in Paris. And I want to bring it up, not to give too much of my own commentary, because there has been an abundance of high quality commentary with regards to this. Van Lathan, film producer, host a podcast for The Ringer and formerly of TMZ, gave one of my favorite responses to this. He said Kanye is either stupid or evil. I'm going to suggest that he's both. But listen to Van Lathan as he makes the case.
I would actually have preferred that he actually meant this. So for people who are saying he doesn't mean this, I'd actually prefer that he does. I'd actually prefer that he's like, hey, I feel like we live in a world where white people aren't getting enough attention. Because if that's the case, he's just stupid. But if he's doing this purposefully to antagonize, purposefully for attention, purposefully to troll black people, then Kanye West isn't stupid. He's evil. Mm. It's an evil thing to do for no reason on a Monday for him just to have to wake up fucking mad. And how much of it are we going to take?
Mm.
Period. Point blank. Do you know how much of an evil, insidious, ectoplasm oozing ghoul you have to be a black person willing to actively harm your own people in exchange for money from white supremacy? Well, you have to be Candace Owens level evil, which is why she was the only black woman he could find to take that picture with him. Have a good week, everyone. I'll see you next week.
The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.patreon.com/TheBPD Show and support The Benjamin Dixon Show. If you like this episode, be sure to share, like, and subscribe.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.